All right. Welcome once again, everybody. If you don't know me, I'm Scott Wildenberg. I'm the pastor here at True North. Can everybody hear me okay? Okay. It's a little hard for me to tell. Well, over the past couple of weeks, last 3 or 4 weeks, I've been talking a lot about the kind of character that God wants us to have as a church. I'm talking about things that we really need to emphasize, to put some effort into, to grow, not only grow in our faith, but really put our faith into action. These are things that we really need to take seriously from God's word if we are going to be effective as a church, if we are going to really experience the joyful life that God has for us. And one thing I think about is if this church is going to have life and joy in it, and if it's going to last beyond all of us here, once we get too old to continue doing this, we want a church that is so full of life that just continues on. And we need to take seriously the call God has for us in his word to be the kind of people he wants us to be. So we've talked about things like going beyond ourselves, walking out in faith and saying, in Christ I can do all things, trusting God to work through us, to go before us. We've talked about having a passion for compassion, to make grace for one another and forgiveness a high priority, higher than our need for self-justice, for vindicating ourselves. And we need to pursue a level of relationship with one another that creates unbreakable family bonds, because we're meant to be a family as a church. And as we talk about these things, I realize that there's a danger in this a little bit, that as we hear those things and think about the things that we're supposed to be doing, there certainly is effort that we need to put into it, but sometimes we put so much effort into it, we forget, or we're so excited or so convicted to go do it, we forget to take the first step, which is to go to God and ask God to come with us and ask God to work in our lives. We don't want to just pray to God and say, okay, God, just tell me what to do and how to do it, and then just go out on our own to start doing things by our own willpower, because our willpower only goes so far. We'll meet frustration, we'll meet failure, and we'll just fall back into the old routines that we used to have most of the time. What God calls us more than anything to do is remain in him, to not just do things for him, but to do things with him and in him and through him, through his power. And we need to have that connection with God if we're going to really become the people that God wants us to be. And this is why we talk about saying we do things in Christ. Now, there's an illustration that Jesus gives in John 15 that discusses this and illustrates the kind of relationship God wants to have with us. So if you do have a Bible with you, open up to John 15, if you would. We're going to begin reading right at the beginning of that chapter. I'll give you a moment to get to that. So John 15:1 begins, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like the branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my word remains in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." And so he creates this illustration that he is the vine and we are the branches. And I want you just to think about that connection with the Lord for a minute. And just look at this tree as an example. And the connection that the branches have with the trunk. I mean, that is a solid and tight connection. The branches become an extension of the trunk itself. And there's several layers of connection that are happening there. You have the outer bark that provides protection, just as God provides protection for us, provides some durability. And then you have an inner bark layer through which all the nutrients flow. In fact, as those leaves gather sunlight and produce energy, the nutrients that it produces flow down into the tree throughout the rest of the tree. And there's a whole sermon in that about absorbing the light and sharing what you've gained with the rest of the body. But we won't go there today. There's another layer. in which the water flows up from the roots. The roots feed and provide water to the whole rest of the tree. And then you have the center layer, the heartwood, that contains thousands and thousands and thousands of fibers that give the tree or give a vine and a plant its strength and durability. And think about how hard wood is, how hard a vine can be as it grows and gains thickness because of all those fibers of connections. That's the kind of connection that we're meant to have with the Lord, with Christ as our vine and us being the branch. We are so tightly connected to him that we gain all of our protection, all of our nourishment, all of our strength from him. It's through him that we do all things that he calls us to do. And then the next thing to look in this illustration is, well, what does the branch do then? So we're connected to the vine. And what does the branch do? What do you see in that? Go ahead and shout it out if you think you know the answer to that. What do the branches do? They absorb the light. Yes, that's part of it. They bear fruit. And that's the thing that Jesus talks about us doing. We are to bear fruit. Now, the character that we've talked about, all those things that we've been talking about the last week, that's part of the fruit that comes from being connected to the vine. That's why I wanted to bring that back a little bit today. It's not just us out there doing it ourselves. It is us doing it and becoming those people through Christ and through what we gain from him. Now, there are a couple things that Jesus talks about here that happens to the branches. So God is the gardener. He looks at the vine. He looks at the branches. And he does, there's two different things that happen when he evaluates those branches. The first is, in verse 2, he says, he cuts off every branch that bears no fruit. So God is looking for fruit. And if there's no fruit there, he cuts that branch off. Same thing we would do out in if we have a vineyard. I know a couple of people have a vineyard. You've done this pruning before, this cutting. If you have a garden, you look for those branches that aren't producing. You cut them off because they've died. Now, when you relate this to spiritual life, we have to think about this a little bit. Of course, our faith and our salvation as Christ is not based on our actions. It's not based on what we prove to God, right? So it's not the fruit that God is looking for in regards to our salvation in Christ. And of course, as I read in that passage earlier, God will not allow anything to separate us from his love. So when you think about this illustration of a branch not producing fruit, you have to just wonder, is God looking at the true faith of that person? And it's something just for us to evaluate for ourselves. I'm not going to go around to a group of people and saying, well, you're producing fruit and you're not, so you don't have faith and you don't. That's God's work to do. But for ourselves individually, we have to ask ourselves, what does our faith look like? Is it producing fruit? Because a true faith in Christ is one that does produce fruit. That's the expectation. There's going to be fruit in our lives. And so we don't want to be those kinds of branches that don't produce fruit. Because then there's something missing in our faith. There's something that's not quite right there. And we know that this happens. There's been countless examples through history. This is the reason we're talking about this now. It is possible to be a church full of people who say they put their faith in Christ, but do nothing except sit around and talk about God. And we don't really produce fruit. So it is possible for that to happen. And so we have to allow that to convict us and say, hey, wait a minute, there is something I need to do, right? The branches produce leaves. Those leaves do some work. They put effort into absorbing the sun. Right? We have to put effort into absorbing the sun and allowing that sun to change us and grow us. So we want to produce fruit. And here's the thing that God does with the branches that do produce fruit. Where is it? Verse 2 again. Every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. And so we can expect that God will prune us as well. Now, pruning is not necessarily an enjoyable process. Right? And it involves cutting away. Talk to these guys a lot. They have a vineyard about how even it might be a healthy-looking branch that you have to cut off and cut back. And the purpose in that is that so we'll grow even more and produce even more. So God is going to continue working in our lives. Right? You may be producing some good fruit right now. Well, guess what? God wants to produce more fruit for you. And that may involve some pruning. What that looks like, it may involve learning some more. It may involve applying more of God's word. It may be going through some trials and and learning how to live out your faith in those trials. There's lots of ways that God prunes us. But those are the two things that are going to happen with a branch on the vine. Either it's not going to produce fruit, it'll be cut off, or it will produce fruit, and God will prune it and allow us to continue growing. The thing I want you to really see today is that God is always tending his garden. He is always working among us. He is always watching where we are, and his goal is to help us to continue growing and continue doing more and producing more fruit in the world. And so when we talk about the things we ought to be doing, start with that connection, that abiding and remaining in Christ and allowing him to work through our lives to produce that good fruit. And that really just brings me to the question today of what are we talking about when we talk about fruit? You know, that's a little abstract. And we're not supposed to be growing apples off of our fingers or anything like that. If you've been around the Bible for a while, you may be thinking about the fruit of the Spirit spoken about in Galatians 6. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are all called fruit of the Spirit, things that result from a life lived in Christ. And I think that's part of what Jesus is talking about in John. But I think Jesus is talking a little bit more general terms about fruit that's produced. And there's four things that I think about when I think about fruit that comes from a life lived by abiding in Christ. And they all build upon one another, and they continue to revolve and keep building so that we can produce even more fruit. And the first of those things is that we grow in knowledge of Christ. We continue to absorb the Word of God, learn what it says about God, learn what it says about Jesus, learn what it says about ourselves, the things that we talk about week after week, the things that we talk about in Bible study. These are just learning the Word and what it says. If you don't know what God's word is, you just don't know what God's will is. And so the first fruit of a life lived by abiding in Christ is that you gain knowledge of God through his word. The second thing that grows out of that is character. So if you have the knowledge of the word, you take that food that's given to us, that's like the water coming up from the roots, and then we need to use it in our lives. We need to apply it and allow it to change us. The branches of the tree take that water and they incorporate it into the cells of the plant and allows them to do the work that the tree and the vine wants it to do. It takes on new shape. It grows longer and thicker and stronger. Now for us, that takes some effort, like I've talked about. It takes applying ourselves to the things that God calls us to do. All the while abiding in Christ, asking God, how do I do this? God, give me the strength to do this. Show me how to change. Be with me in those tense moments when I go off on my own, Lord, and just hold me steady and help me be the person you want me to be. And as we continue to do those things, our character changes. We become different people. Through my life, I hear all kinds of people saying nobody ever changes. People remain the same. And there's statistics that show by the time a child is about 16 years old, their character is fairly well set. And that may be true for most people. But I've also observed that as people apply their lives to Christ and they let themselves soak in that word, their lives change no matter how young they are. Christ can change you. He can make you become a different person. And so we have knowledge and we have character as fruit of living in Christ. And the third thing that follows from that is action. Once you have that new character, it leads to new actions in your life. You live a different way. You do different things. You have different priorities. Things that you thought you would spend all your life doing, you'd say, you know, I don't even want to do that anymore. I want to live my life for Christ. I want to do what he tells me to do. I want to go where he tells me to go. I want to interact with the people that God puts in my life. So we take action based on the new character that we have, the third fruit that comes from remaining in Christ. And the final thing that comes from that is impact. Fruit is meant to be eaten. The whole purpose of a tree producing fruit is that so someone, some animal, some person will come along and eat that fruit. And then after the fruit is eaten, the seeds get sown and spread so that a new tree can grow up. That's the impact that we have on the world. When we take action based on the knowledge and character that we develop, we start to impact the world around us. We're no longer just drifting along through life, following the trends that rise and fall. We're no longer just following the crowd. We are the ones impacting people around us. We speak up. We act up. We lead people in new directions. And we show them a new way of life. All because we have produced fruit. And that is a fruit that comes out of our life. Once you've had impact on somebody else's life, it changes you again. You go back to the beginning, and you start gaining more knowledge and more character development, and more action, and you have even greater impact on the world. And all the while, God is pruning you through that process. This is the kind of fruit that God wants to see us develop in our lives. He wants to continue developing it so you produce more and more fruit. So, my call to you today is take a good look at your life. Ask yourself, am I producing fruit in keeping with the Spirit? Am I doing all I can to live for God, to live with God, and ask Him to work through me? Am I remaining connected to the vine? Ask God, what is next for me? What do I need to know more, Lord? What do I need to incorporate more? You know, what have I studied over and over and over and I still haven't applied it, Lord? Help me to do those things. What can I do differently, Lord, and who can I impact? Ask yourselves how to do those things. If you're producing fruit in your life, great. What does God want to do to produce even more? How can He work even greater things in your life? He has a plan for you. He has a purpose for your life to produce a great harvest of fruit. So evaluate for yourselves today where you are and what God wants to do for you next. Then seek Him out diligently. Do the work that God calls us to do, to seek out living for Him, asking Him to change you, to grow you, to work through you. So as we close today, let's just give thanks for the root, for the vine that we have connected to us, the vine of Jesus Christ and His power and His strength and His will. Let's give Him thanks for all that He does in and through us and invite Him to continue working. So let's pray together and then praise Him with our last song. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You for choosing us, Lord, to be part of Your work in this world, to be connected to that vine. We thank You for all that that gives us personally, the protection, the strength, the guidance, the joy, Lord. But I pray that You would help us to produce great fruit for You. Help us, each one of us, to produce even more fruit than we're doing now, Lord, to understand those steps that we need to take next, and to be diligent about pursuing them, Lord. We want to produce a great harvest for You in this world, Lord. Help us to be Your branches reaching out all across this city, throughout this world, sowing those seeds of faith wherever we go as we produce fruit for You. We thank You for blessing this church, Lord, for continuing to grow us and guide us. In Jesus' name, amen.